about it. Here we go.
Normally, at this point, we'd be eating up into the wagon, but even the wagon and the horse had the day off.
Well, as they should.
Mike Lewis and I have been spreading 2 hours of news and opinion, known as New More, or New Pinion, and we'd be in the wagon, but it is a holiday.
What about the pickle jar lady? Is she?
She's still here.
She doesn't get let out.
All the animals around the pond still.
Well, yeah, but that is their job and their day off all at once.
Mm-hmm. Here come the animals. We first started diving in the news about 3 years ago. Listeners would say, hey, how about this animal? Can you include this animal? So finally, that's where that list of all those animals came in there. So that's everybody around the pond. Yeah, Lady in the Pickle Jar, she will be here. In fact, later on, when we go to do Letter of the Day, she has three M80s in her jar, remember?
That's right.
And we look forward to that.
That'll happen. Holiday story.
All right, here we go. Walmart has online sales, so it's third-party selling through Walmart. Amazon does the same thing.
Absolutely. Right?
Okay. So it's not in the Walmart store, but it's online underneath the headline of Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart essentially is the back-end system like Amazon Web Services, essentially.
Okay. A T-shirt came out in Peach 45, and somebody saw it and put it up, and then a bunch of folks started on a social media campaign really blasting away at Walmart.
I understand this. They obviously were unhappy about this. Why would I want to shop at a store? For Walmart, it's interesting because I bet that demographically, the number of Walmart shoppers who also support the president, I imagine that's a fairly significant percentage.
Yes.
I think if you're a Walmart manager or a Walmart, you know, on the board of Walmart, mm-hmm. this is actually something that would be worrisome to you because these are a group of people probably who share similar sort of thoughts and ideas. I can see why Walmart did it. I mean, the company that actually made these things did not just make anti-impeach 45. They made anti-Obama stuff. That they do provocative political stuff regarding every political party and every point of view. And so they said, hey, this is just among the many funny or provocative things we do. It's not fair, but you know, Walmart actually, I think, understands who its customers are.
Sure.
And said, you know, we're not going to make a lot of money on this, but we could lose a lot of money on this.
And they're not so great with T-shirts. December 2016, Walmart had to remove T-shirts emblazoned with Black Lives Matter after the National Fraternal Order of Police sent a letter urging the company to stop selling the product. Quote, I understand these are third-party sales and not Walmart products, but I'm concerned that allowing these articles of clothing to be sold in this way will damage your company's good name among the FOP members, active retirement law enforcement officers.
Yeah, the Walmart also a few years ago had the big controversy of having their American-made aisle filled with stuff that was not made in America. It was just rebranded
It was inspired by
capitalism, mm-hmm. which is done in America,
right?
Ergo, made in America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Enjoy the savings, everybody. Yep. They also had a T-shirt in 2017 that had rope, tree, journalist, some assembly required.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yeah, you still see that one popping up from time to time. In fact, there was one guy in one of the white nationalist marches wearing that exact T-shirt. I just saw a picture of it, I don't know, 3-4 months ago.
Wow, so that T-shirt was 2 years old then.
He's been ironing it. He only wears it to special occasions.
Okay. So is the shirt no longer available?
I don't have any
idea. Not that one. Impeach 45, I assume.
I'm sure it is not through Walmart sales.
Got it. But if you want to vent your spleen and you still have a problem with the fact that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, number 45, and you want to be able to, if you can't impeach him, at least you could count down how many days he's going to stay in office.
It actually comes with a spleen venting receptacle, which is kind of nice because it attaches to right to the left flank of it.
Is that where the spleen is?
That's where the spleen is.
Cairo 7 has the story.
The sign is hard to miss.
Well, I kind of wondered what it was.
But the message was meant to be more subtle.
People do stop and ask and take pictures. It's pretty subtle. And unless you're really thinking about it, then you can maybe put two and two together.
Lily Onan and her husband bought this corner house in the Leschi neighborhood 2 months ago. It came came with a sign the former owner had custom made as a countdown clock to the end of President Trump's 4 years in office.
Message of hope for me. And the more that number shrinks, you know, the more hopeful I get.
But not everyone agrees with Onan, including some people who have left comments criticizing it on this Instagram page created by the home's former owner to showcase his sign.
I imagine somebody could be offended by it.
It was humor. I laughed.
Sade Terry lives next door and said something much more offensive could have gone up to make a political statement.
Even if you support the current president, it's still, that's just a countdown.
Anand said she and her husband will continue flipping the numbers every day and are even prepared for a potential second term.
What would happen then? Would you reset the clock?
We'd reset the clock. We'd have to start all over.
There you go. Get ready to reset.
You want to make an on-air wager on this?
No.
Okay.
If he keeps going with these tariffs, oy. All right? Come on now. All right. Back off. A little bit of free trade.
If he keeps going on with his policies, of course not. But if he doesn't do his policies, yeah, maybe.
Hey, listen.
I guess we can agree on that point.
Reduce all of the ham hock anti-business restrictions that Obama put in there.
You mean ad hoc?
Ad hoc and ad hoc and ham hock. Get rid of that.
The ham hock, the tariffs on ham hocks, I think is actually a good point.
That's what Canada,
how are we going
Canada
to make,
is reeling.
How are we going to make terrific bean soup without a good ham hock?
Just let the economy just keep cranking along and I'll be okay with it. Let's see. Amazon, by the way, will be opening its second cashless convenience store in downtown Seattle. Guess they worked out the bugs in the first one. And the way it works is you go in, you pick up the item, put it in a cart or a basket and walk on out, and you've got yourself.
So have you done it yet?
I have not done it.
Haven't either. In fact, I went down there, but there was a line the day I went down to give it a try. You register your phone as you walk in, and then that sort of was what's the tracking device.
Uh-huh.
That, along with the store's integrated system, tracks what you're picking up, what you're taking, and then you walk right out with it without ever dealing with a cashier. I think there is an Amazon employee there if you have any problems with the app that actually is does all the billing process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But obviously, there's a whole group of people who work in supermarkets who are not super thrilled about this as a platform for stores. But the friends of mine who have done it said it's actually kind of cool, and it, you do get in and out pretty quickly.
Are they getting protests the same way? What's the name of that new market? Fresh Market? Or what's the name of that new market that started up? Yeah, Fresh Market, right?
Yeah.
You see signs in the Ballard neighborhood and around those areas, you know, protesting Fresh Market because they don't have workers' rights and they don't have union in there. Are they also protesting Amazon's store because they basically eliminated these people altogether? It's not that they're in a union or not. There's no one behind the scanners.
They haven't yet. But again, this is we've talked about this before. Amazon has a complicated relationship with unions. Amazon as a company is not pro-union. Uh-huh. Amazon does, though, also provide decent wages and benefits and things like that. So that's the way Amazon gets around that, by actually providing union-grade wages and benefits. But Amazon also, right now, in construction in Seattle, has funded some of the largest trade union employment in America for years and years to come, probably, given what is expected to be built here, even with an HQ2 going elsewhere and Amazon, you know, not necessarily expanding here. So when the head tax was the big protest, what did Amazon do? Amazon engineered a union protest against it more than an Amazon protest against it, which was remarkably effective. So has anyone protested the Amazon Go store yet? I think there's been people who have written about it and mm-hmm. talked about it. I haven't seen any picketing. It could have happened. Maybe we just missed it, but I don't think there has been any.
Yeah.
But if it starts spreading pretty rapidly, I think you can anticipate that that's probably to come.
You get the Luddites out there smashing the weaving machines. SeaTac developing $4 billion plan that includes the new terminal. Good news, because we just don't have enough gates for everybody.
We are going to grow at the airport tremendously over the next few years.
SeaTac is growing as a hub to Asia, and a million more people are predicted to move to the Puget Sound area by 2035. The Port of Seattle has developed what it calls a sustainable airport master plan, which includes something big.
So we're looking at a brand new terminal on the north sides.
The new terminal would go where Doug Fox Parking now leases space. Part of the airport drive would be rerouted to shoehorn in a building where passengers would check in. They would take a sky bridge across the road to board the plane. The first phase would add 19 gates. A second phase would add 15 more. Port officials say so far they've only roughly estimated the cost of the first phase at $4 billion. That would come from passenger facility charges, grants, airport money, and bonds. The first phase would add capacity needed through 2027. The second phase would cover expected needs through 2035. The airport is not looking to buy land or expand its footprint.
But you'd sort of top out at that point?
Based on the forecast that we have, pretty much that would be it for us.
Little says the first phase includes some 30 projects, like an above-ground people mover train and more places to park planes and run buses to gates.
If you don't do this, what happens?
So if we don't do anything, as you can see, it gets very busy here. It's just going to get busier. It's going to get more congested.
There you go. Good. Relief for everybody in a $4 billion project coming to SeaTac Airport.
But do you know also what this is somewhat in response to, right? It's in response to the expansion of airport of commercial service out of Payne Field.
Oh, yeah.
So SeaTac is worried about this because Alaska is flying out of there now. Other airlines have followed suit. Payne Field is now feeling it like it's – because the argument in the FAA, at the FAA level, has been that Seattle is actually pretty badly underserved. Usually most – like where you grew up or Chicago, you have two – New York, you have two major airports. In the Bay Area, you've got three. This is the thing that Seattle kind of lacks in that maybe the idea is you shouldn't expand SeaTac, but you should actually expand one of the regional airports into something that is a little bit more domestic grade, you know, large carrier. I think that's what they're worried about.
Helping the people up north in Everett.
Absolutely.
Yep. The FAA has said, you know what? We're not going to get involved in this. If airplane manufacturers would continue to shrink how much leg room you have, the FAA will not rule. They would only step in if they felt that it was such a small space that you had that you weren't able to exit the plane safely in the event of emergency.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually has done a little bit of this sort of work with American Airlines, and American Airlines a few years ago did this big advertising campaign about more leg room, and they literally, this means, because these planes can be configured any way you want, they take out a couple of rows, they give each row another 4 inches, which actually is fairly significant, and they retrofitted a whole bunch of planes at the cost of tens of millions of dollars, and they found that what happened? Zero increase in ticket sales. People still did what? They bought the cheapest ticket, and though they said they literally then re-retrofitted their planes, back in.
They added three more rows just
because
to spite
they
everybody.
Knew that they would complain, but they'd still buy a ticket. This is, if you want to know what Spirit Airlines' business model is, it's we don't care how much you complain, you're still going to buy that $50 ticket, and it's true. And the FAA should not be in any way involved in this. Let the airlines figure it out. People can make their own decisions on that. As long as it's not a safety issue.
Right. They say the FAA does not regulate these dimensions, but it has set a 90-second standard for emergency evacuation with half of the exits blocked.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Come on. 90 seconds to get everybody out of one of those airplanes?
Yeah, I agree. Now, did you ever fly much on Southwest?
No, I hated the whole thing.
Cattle call?
Yeah, and I would always end up in the seat that faced the other
seat.
See,
this is what I was going to bring up. They don't do that anymore,
actually. They got rid of that seat.
But I remember that. That was, if you were boarding in, like, Group Z, and you were the last people, two things always happened. One, no one would make eye contact with you because they didn't want you to take that middle seat that was still available. And two, no one would take the rear-facing seats, so you're facing away from the direction of travel and staring at, and your knees are touching the person's knees in front of you. That was a terrible idea.
It's actually safer. Did you know in event of a crash, I think they say it's safer to be facing the opposite of the direction.
If you're in a survivable major airplane crash, I suppose so. Most of them, in fact, are not. So, yes, I guess in that one-tenth of 1% chance.
Right. That's the safest spot right there.
Right there.
Yeah, not sitting over the wings with all the gas.
Right.
You take that seat, you'd be okay. Yeah, many times I got stuck there, and I hated the fact, like, hey, what do you expect? It's cheap. you know, and everybody rushing to get on. No, right. No more Southwest Airlines. Can't fly the crappy one. I think the thing is that people just assume they're going to be uncomfortable. So if they're going to be uncomfortable, they're going to pay the lowest fare they can possibly pay while they are just in
you. You have you flown on? You probably haven't because you wouldn't. But have you flown on Spirit Airlines?
No.
Oh, wow, that's an experience. They charge. I'm surprised that if they had an emergency, the oxygen mask would drop down and it'd have a credit card slider there before they actually release. They charge you virtually anything on the flight at all, including your carry-on, you pay for. So ultimately, it's not that cheap of a ticket, but people love it because they see $50 to Las Vegas from Seattle, literally a price they recently advertised. But that is, they have the worst in America, the worst customer service ratings, bar none.
They charge for armrests and headrests.
Oxygen.
Got it. The Episcopal Church has decided it's going to enter into the discussion as to the gender of God. Finally, someone will determine male or female, the great deity known as Yahweh.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with people referring to God as she. I don't care if people refer to God as he. I don't care if people refer to God as it or by a specific name. This is one of those things that's never, I've never found, seen what the sort of, you know, outrage trigger is on this.
I don't get it
either. Who cares?
He doesn't have a gender.
She agrees with you, Jeff.
Larry Hicks, the brother of the deceased Davon Chesley and the son of the deceased, talked about how a painful experience occurred at a funeral. So they went to a Catholic church. The person who had died was baptized at this church. I don't know if necessarily worshipped at this particular Catholic church. St. Mary's Church there. Was it in Baltimore?
It was, yeah.
And apparently what happened was there's the casket is there, the deceased in the casket, the priest is somewhere nearby, and two people are hugging one another, and they accidentally knock over
his chalice.
The chalice, and it, I don't know if it breaks or not, but it's enough to cause the priest to just go absolutely nuts.
This was uncalled for. Yeah. Uncalled for at that church. And it really hurt me.
Yeah.
Really do. To see your loved one come there to rest and be shut down like that.
My mom was supposed to have a great just funeral. And all this came up, and now I'm so traumatized about it. I'm going to keep thinking about this every day. Like, I can't never forget this day.
It was tough. The priest got up on stage. There's actually sound of him, or at least the scuffle that occurred afterwards. And then Shanice Chesley, the daughter of the deceased, details everything that the priest did after someone knocked over a chalice.
That's when all hell broke loose. He literally got on the mic and said, "There will be no funeral. There will be no mass, no repast. Yes. Everyone get the hell out of my church." He was disrespectful. He disrespected our family. He disrespected my mother. He called my mother a thing.
Yes.
He said, "Get this thing out of my church. Everyone get the hell out of my church."
Yes.
It was very sad. It was very sad.
Yes.
And I never seen anything like that before.
Boy, the priest gets up, "Get the hell out of my church."
Yeah, this is, I hope that the local archdiocese takes a good look at this guy. Staying in his current job, it was not only was it shocking. Think about it this way: when the cops arrived after the fracas over this whole thing, they completely sided with the family and said the police was the priest was spectacularly out of line.
Yeah.
Escorted them to another funeral home where they actually had their funeral service.
Got it. Come right back. We'll talk about the Chatterbaby app. This thing goes in the room where the kid is while the kid is in the crib. And then while the kid is doing that baby chatter stuff, it will translate for you the next day what the child was saying that you missed. Okay, we'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Turn it up. Leonard Skinner. Here we go. Tom and Curly Show right here on Cairo Radio. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. Little Sweet Home, Alabama. Take it up.
No, turn it up. This is what made John Denver mad, John. You got to get this stuff correct.
What are you saying in the very beginning? Turn it up.
Turn it up.
Not take
I said
it up.
Turn up.
You
said
beginning.
Take it up. You said turn it up at the beginning. You said take it up the second time.
Well, that's to Andrew. All righty. By the way, do we have any letters of the day
close
yet?
Close your eyes.
Yeah. Maybe letters of the day?
I've got one that I think will be it.
But have you noticed the theme that people keep writing about urination in there? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, there's been several.
Okay. Should I explain it right now, and then we'll get to this story about parents being schnookered into getting this app. I told a story, was it 2 days ago, about how my sister tried to get on the radio when we were little kids, WWDB, by calling up the radio station and trying to say the word urinate as much as she possibly could
you
on
guys,
the radio.
You guys, it was a discussion on prank calling, and we was actually the comedian who had managed to get through on Trump.
Right.
And so, then you talked about how you guys spent your free time prank calling as kids.
And I wouldn't do it. Chuck wouldn't do it. But Lori would be able to get on and then just play the part of an old lady, and she just tried to say the word urinate constantly. So now what has happened is, people are writing in with what seems like a legitimate letter, but then the word urine or urination appears like 20 sometimes in the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has sort of taken on a life of its own. So I'm sure we'll get some of that. A Chatterbaby app. That's right. The Chatterbaby app is a new way for parents to feel like they're parenting when they're not really parenting, but they feel like they are because this app tells them they're doing a great job.
New mother Fatima Bell is often trying to figure out why her five-month-old son, Jonathan Jr., is crying.
I'll make it really easy for you. There's like three or four reasons a kid's crying. One, he's wet. Two, he's tired. Three, he's hungry. Those are your basic three. Those are your three basics.
It's scary. You're responsible for someone's life.
She says the Chatterbaby app helps her and her husband, Jonathan, identify what's bothering their son more quickly. They record his cries for 5 seconds, and the app tells them the likelihood that he is fussy, hungry, or in pain.
For me, it just goes down the mental checklist of, you know, what do I need to do?
UCLA statistician Ariana Anderson
mental checklist of what you need to do?
Three lines, three checklists.
He's like, oh, you get lost there. Hold on a second, back up. Okay, is he wet?
Developed the app. She originally designed the technology to help deaf parents like the Wetters better understand why their baby was upset, but soon realized it could be a helpful tool for all parents. To build a database, Anderson and her team uploaded thousands of audio samples of infant cries. She used cries recorded during ear piercings and vaccinations to distinguish pain cries and to create a baseline for the other two categories. A panel of moms had to unanimously agree on whether the cry was either hungry or fussy.
We're taking a 5-second audio sample. We look at over 6,000 different acoustic features, and we try to see which features associated with each state using artificial intelligence.
Oh boy.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I think the original ambition for the app, especially if it was dealing with deaf parents, is terrific.
Right.
The other notion of sort of creating some sort of a baby translator maybe isn't so.
So the kid starts to cry. You run up with your phone, which you probably have in your hand anyway, and then you record the cry, and then you check the app and run through the checklist, as the mom calls it. Of what may be wrong with the kid.
Yeah.
And maybe when you first do the app, maybe it doesn't get, so you have to get like more crying.
The
so
more
you record
important,
more of it.
The more important one, honestly, is for your like 13-year-old kid.
Oh.
If you can find out the tone of voice app that can decide whether or not they are actually like there's something to worry about, whether or not they're going to run away from home, or whether or not they're just being, you know, going through those, you know, adjustment years.
It's all adjustment years. Yeah. By the way, a pediatrician jumps in and says,
I think that all of the apps and technology that new parents are using now can be helpful, but need to be taken with a grain of salt. I do worry that some parents will get bogged down in big data and turn their parenting into basically a spreadsheet, which I think will take away from the love and caring and support that parents are supposed to be providing for their children.
Mm, wow. That first mom. Holy moly. It'll be interesting, her and Jonathan, how they end up raising that kid with going to an app to figure out what's wrong with your baby. Again, the three categories. You've never had a kid, but they are?
They're wet, they are fussy, or they're hungry.
Hungry, or sleepy.
Or sleepy.
They get past the point, they miss their nap time, so then they get really irritable, so you got to get them to go down. We used to have this thing called, and I've seen so many people debate this, cry it out. We used to let the kid cry it out, which means you put them in the French model. And then let them just go.
Yeah.
Other people say, no, it's terrible, but the debate between the two is the child learns to self-soothe. Others argue that, no, the child feels abandoned and wants to know that you're there. So, but if you cry, he cries, and then you show up, and then you say, okay, you're all right, and then you leave again, then he cries again, and you come back, he begins to realize, oh, every time I cry, you'll come. And then basically at that point, they start manipulating you.
And what did you do?
We just put him in there and let him cry it out. Cry it out. And now we are really suffering the consequences of that right now. It's nothing worse. I bet, though, 16, 17, 16, 15. That's what we got. And they're all in the house, and they're all fairly unbelievably selfish. But I guess that comes with being a teenager, right?
It also comes with being your kid.
No. I think a lot of teenagers are selfish.
Well, all right.
Give me that. Yeah. Anybody? Andrew, yeah. You're practically a teenager.
What was the question?
Okay. Do you feel...
That was actually the perfect teenager response.
That was?
That was the genius teenager. What was the question? Were you talking to me? I was on my phone.
What'd you say?
I said, what was the question?
You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. I got to be honest with you. Yes, it is 4th of July. There was a whole bunch of news that Jacob had worked on since yesterday afternoon. He sent us the whole list of all the stories.
We got two more days to get through this.
That's true. We'll just take the stories we didn't do today because we ended up talking about John Denver.
We'll push them forward. We've got a holiday week. You know, again.
Let me ask you something. You
think why would they have gone to the B list in me to if this were an important week from a news standpoint?
Do you think that the people are going to take off tomorrow? The whole week.
Yes.
The whole week people are out.
Yeah. Didn't you rage about this over the holidays at Christmas that people take off, I don't know, the day before Christmas or something like that as some sort of, that's not a holiday. Why would you take that day off? Didn't you get angry about
that? Yeah, I get angry about that.
You get angry about anyone padding any holiday with additional free time because you never do.
No, I don't mind. Listen, Christmas lands on a Tuesday. Okay, you want to take Monday off? I'll give you that. But why do you get Wednesday off? Oh, it's Boxing Day. Why bother going in?
A day of recovery.
Okay, and then how about Thursday?
Why not?
Why bother going in on Thursday? The week's almost over.
I am not worried about productivity levels. I love the open roads. I got to say.
Me too.
And you did too.
Me
you
too.
Came in
woo!
Joyful
lickety
at how slid. Fast your commute was.
We'll be right back. All righty. Yeah, little Bruce. Classic here. The Tom McCurley Show. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Your letters are going to be pouring in now. We want to thank Doug's Linwood Mazda for helping us out, providing a car for the mailman. He takes the letters from us, drives around the block, and then brings them back and sings this happy song.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Yeah. Hey, teeny tiny. Ooh, look at the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. She's got her red, white, and blue bunting, and she's got herself all dolled up. And look at her. She's got a match. She's got.
Hello.
She's got herself three M80s, and she is in that jar. So just be forewarned. Little lady in the pickle jar. I don't know if she can hear me or not, but we will be allowing you to blow those up later on, okay?
Excellent.
All right. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Letter of the day, but first, let's get started now.
Is anyone listening from area code 253? Guys, I am listening to you. Remember, most garbage men do have to work today.
That is true. Joey the garbage man says garbage men are listening too. So let's try not to do some half-assed job. It's too much. Is that too much to ask? Thanks, says Joey.
From 206, JT is listening. Not sure why. This is a good for a nap like golf on TV. I agree.
We started out questioning whether or not we should really try to do our best today.
I did my best.
Me too. 253, hey guys, I'm listening. To what? Who cares? I'm on triple time. Bring on the crickets.
Triple time, another garbage man. Area code 206, good morning, John and partner.
Yes.
I'm here in Marysville listening to you on the edge of my seat about your story and canning apricots. This is a great day to be alive.
There you go. Thanks, Mike Lewis. Is anyone listening? Continue. 253 says, gentlemen, I'm a police officer working today, and your show is helping me deal with it. Thanks on my behalf. Thanks on behalf of me and the three others listening. Happy birthday, America.
From Mark in Edmond, set my alarm for 10, woke up at 9 just to listen to you guys. We are out here. Don't stop.
Okay, good. We needed that at the very beginning. Affirmative Action Dell in Linwood says, it's amazing how much manipulation this country has experienced by those in control with money and political power. We want to believe in fairness, but the truth is brutal.
And speaking of the truth on urination, from area code 425, I promise I won't mention urination today.
We appreciate that, 425. Jesse in Seattle says, on the 4th of July a few years ago, I was staying at a hotel with some friends. I kept trying to use my key to open my door, but it wouldn't work. I yelled up to their window, hey, guys, my key doesn't work. And they said, what? What room are you trying to get into? I said, room 9. And they laughed and they said, you're an 8. What? You're an 8. Then I peed my pants. Thank you, Jess.
John's stories from area code 206. Regarding John's college entrance.
I'm sorry. I'm going back to Jess in Seattle. Well done. It's just so stupid. But go ahead. So dumb. Oh, dumb. Go ahead.
Regarding John's college entrance via conservatory, it begs the question, is there anyone or any organization that he hasn't tried scamming?
There are a few. 425, John, you are an artist, a BS artist.
Air code 360, great show today, guys. I don't always agree with Mr. Curley, but I have to say my absolute favorite part of the show is when he lets loose on some of those fabulous anecdotes from his life, as he is doing today. Fabulous show. Thanks, as always.
Thank you, 360, for encouraging me. 425. You guys just validated my hate for John Denver.
And from Erica 206, can the Crickets get their own time slot on Cairo? I really liked what they had to say.
And Ghost of John Denver says, sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. You know what else makes me happier? My head there as well.
Wow. All right, then.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Too soon?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what the statute of limitations is on something like that.
Okay.
4th of July from area code 425. Hey, guys, make sure you're hydrated enough so that your body produces the urine so you can urinate regularly. Regular urination, as long as the urine is clear, is a good thing. Got to get back to listening to John Denver and shoveling coal into my car's furnace.
Folks,
I will say we may not have stable listeners, but they are regularly there.
253. We used to have bottle rockets and Roman candle wars every 4th of July, and none of us died.
Yeah, that's true. Well, as far as we know. Area code 425. Oh my gosh, John, I can't wait to try touching a glass of milk with a sparkler now.
Why should it be a glass of milk?
I don't know.
Ambulances 425. Hi, when discussing ambulances, please be sure to differentiate ambulances, private, for profit, via versus aid, cars, and medics, city, county. Huge difference. Blessings.
That's an absolute excellent point. Ambulances continued from Eric and Bothell.
Once made famous by this show.
Continually made famous by this show. Eric and Bothell. Hey, John and Mike, new producer that seems to be ignoring me. I guess that would be you, Jacob.
Wow.
Wow. All right. A little passive-aggressive. When I was 19, I went skiing and hurt my leg. I had no insurance and was impoverished. I wrapped my leg in an ACE bandage for several weeks, and it seemed to be okay. Years later, an X-ray revealed the fracture. It didn't heal quite properly. People in poverty or near poverty have to make choices. John mentioned that the folks in Great Britain have free health care. No, they don't. They tax themselves to assure nobody has to make do with self-medication. Happy 4th, guys.
Okay.
And now the letter of the day.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
From area code 253, please, teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar, for the love of God, do not light those M80s. I'm afraid for your safety. I'm afraid for your life. I beg of you, just go with the sparkler. It's super festive and way less dangerous. Anywho, happy 4th. And to paraphrase the great American John McLaughlin, out of time. Gotta urinate. Bye-bye.
Not yet. Little lady, do it.
Right.
Out of time. Bye-bye.